Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that one. Tim and Savage sent us a great message here yesterday afternoon. So the Joker took Tuesday off for track. Didn't we learn that running is something that only the privileged do? John and his white supremacy. Yeah, if you guys didn't see that one in the news. Apparently, that's the thing that the left is freaking out now. If you go running or if you're a runner, that's white privilege, apparently, according to the leftists. Just one of the latest rants that the radical left is on. All right, hey, let's jump right into it here this morning. We've got Montana's U.S. Senator Steve Daines joining us live right now on Montana Talks. Senator, great to have you on the show. I literally just saw you on Fox and Friends First, I think at 3:55 this morning, Montana time.
Well, we get up that early, you ought to be grabbing an orange vest, you know, but always good to get the word out there on Fox.
Yeah, you know, when I go hunting now, I get to sleep in because you got to wait for the sun to come up. So it's like, wait.
That's true. It's late for you, but on the other hand, if you're going after spring bear, it's usually an evening hunt anyway. So for those that don't want getting up early, I recommend spring bear
hunt. Do the bear hunts instead. I'm going to write that one down. Well, you were talking China trade. The Trump administration is just about to have some high-level negotiations with the China officials, some of the very same folks that you just sat down with in China.
Yeah, in fact, 5 weeks ago I was sitting across the table from the premier of China, Li Qiang, and then also the vice premier, Ho Li Fong, and that's exactly who Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent and Jameson Greer, our trade rep, will be meeting with in Geneva this weekend. So I'm glad to see negotiations beginning, and the Trump administration started with a position of strength. The Chinese are struggling. We're hearing reports of millions of Chinese now who have lost jobs in the streets, starting to rile things up as a result of the strong efforts by President Trump. But let's not forget, in the midst of all this, we've got to keep an eye on the ball, and that is we export $1.6 billion of U.S. beef into the China market. And so we need to make sure we've got access in that market, that President Trump is working to reduce these tariff and non-tariff barriers to help American producers, to help American manufacturers, and to protect our economy. But the bottom line is it's good news that Secretary Bessent will be in Geneva meeting with the Chinese and trying to find a way through this current trade war.
Well, 30 seconds before we get to the first break here, and then we'll talk more, but Canadian Prime Minister Carney, he was talking tough against Trump during the elections, and then he shows up at the White House yesterday singing Trump's praises.
Well, we've seen that movie before, Aaron. They turn into pussycats once they show up in the Oval Office or out of Mar-a-Lago. And again, it's flashbacks to Ronald Reagan of peace through strength. A strong America, a bold leader, is really starting to have a great impact here, not only in our country, securing our southern border, complete turnaround in what's happened there with the illegal flooding our country, now shutting it down, but also on the world stage. Very proud of President Trump.
All right, well, quick news and weather break here on Montana Talks. We'll talk more with Montana's U.S. Senator Steve Daines right after this. Lots of big news to get to here. We're going to start on the home front, especially Gallatin County and some of the big headlines coming out of there.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunshine across the area today and some patchy fog in some areas early. Otherwise, looking at highs ranging from 70 in Bozeman to the mid-70s in the Billings area. For tonight, expecting clear skies, lows from the mid-40s to around 50. And then the outlook for Thursday does call for more sunshine, low 70s to around 80. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Frombley.
Securing America.
Attorney General Pam Bondi, the DEA, and other law enforcement officials announcing a drug bust Tuesday, which Bondi called
the largest fentanyl bust in our nation's history.
She said 11.5 kilos of fentanyl were seized, including
3 million fentanyl pills.
Bondi said the pills were labeled as oxycodone in various strengths. U.S. Attorney from New Mexico, Ryan Ellison.
The sheer scale and potency of this fentanyl is sobering, with enough lethal doses to kill countless Americans.
The drug trafficking organization was part of Mexico's Sinaloa cartel. 16 were arrested in all, and multiple kilos of heroin, cocaine, and meth, and nearly 50 firearms were also seized across several states. With Bondi promising, this is not the end.
More seizures are coming. More arrests are coming. I guarantee you that.
Kevin Uresti, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
Summer.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, so earlier this week I did a big illegal alien news roundup, and of course so many of these headlines coming out of Bozeman, Montana, coming out of Gallatin County. Senator Steve Daines here, a Bozeman kid, of course. And now to see, obviously, you know, Gallatin County Sheriff Dan Springer sounds like he is doing a great job working to protect the community, but he's getting pushback from the county commissioners, the Democrat county commissioners, and significant pushback from the county attorney there. It's crazy.
Well, first of all, hats off to Sheriff Dan Springer of Gallatin County, and hats off to all of our Montana sheriffs who are standing in the gap, protecting us every day, putting their lives on the line. And, I mean, it's just jaw-dropping to see what's happened in Gallatin County with, let's go back to February. We had six members of that Transiagua violent Venezuelan gang. These are cartel members who were in Bozeman, literally living in our neighborhoods. And you talk to our members of law enforcement, ICE, under Biden's watch last year, wouldn't act and lean in to grab these guys and deport them. And as soon as there was an election in November, as soon as Trump sworn in January, look, ICE steps in, grabs these violent criminals. I mean, Aaron, these are the worst of the worst. They're involved in human trafficking, drug trafficking. They're violent. This gang began in a Venezuelan prison. They were right there in Bozeman coming into our country illegally. ICE steps in, grabs them, and deports them. And now we get a ruling from our county attorney in Gallatin County that says they will not cooperate with ICE to detain these undocumented illegals that come into Montana and to hold them temporarily in our Gallatin County Detention Center until ICE can get there and get them shipped out of the country. And I'll tell you what, this is a fundamental law and safety issue. Why do we have law enforcement, county attorneys, and so forth? They're here to protect us. And you think about these criminals ICE are arresting are some of the worst of the worst. And so really a disappointing ruling that came down from our county attorney in Gallatin County. That's my home county. And I tell you, the county is not any safer because of this ruling. Why can't we lean in and work with ICE to get these terrible criminals off our streets and out of our state?
Well, and it's just, again, so symbolic of just the broader disarray within the Democrat Party, how radicalized that entire party has gotten from the ground up. I mean, for some people who thought, hey, maybe this Democrat county attorney will focus on crime, will focus on doing the right thing, now she's doubling down, obstructing ICE agents to protect. I mean, a massive drug bust took place, cocaine, meth, wads of cash, several illegal aliens rounded up in Gallatin County. And here she is trying to stand in the way of ICE. It's just symbolic of the Democrat disarray across the board.
You know, you talk to members of law enforcement, and they will tell you that when you see a violent crime in Montana, when you hear about a violent crime in Montana, it is likely tied to drugs. And where do those drugs come from? They're coming from the Mexican cartels who are alive and well in our state as we speak, Aaron. And this is why, thank God for President Trump, his leadership, bold leadership, to mobilize organizations like ICE to start taking these bad guys off the streets here illegally. And let's not forget the dramatic results President Trump's achieved in the first 100 days of going from the Biden days of 20 million illegals flooding our country during his years to the lowest crossings in history on the southern border in this last month. And so hats off to President Trump. And once again, if you remember that battle we had in Congress when the Democrats said, oh, we need to have new laws or they can't secure the border. And President Trump said, we don't need new laws. We need a new president. And sure enough, he delivered on it.
Well, and I know a lot of people are wondering what can be done to hold these Gallatin County officials accountable. I've got to think that, you know, state officials, federal officials are looking at that very thing, you know, potentially withholding funding. Who knows?
Well, again, you come back to what's the basic mission? If you are an elected official, if you are a county attorney, which is an elected official, when you wake up in the morning, what's your basic role? And that is to protect the people. These people who are roaming our streets in Montana illegally are threats to our security and our safety. They need to be rounded up and deported.
What's the latest with that one big beautiful bill and making the Trump tax cuts permanent? It sounds like July, the 4th of July is kind of the key date. Former Speaker Gingrich is saying, look, that's when they've got to get this major package done by.
Well, we've got to get it done here. Certainly, I think July, early August at the very latest. But 4th of July would be a great gift to give the American people. The President Trump could sign it. We're pushing hard, Aaron. Here's what's going on. There's a $4.5 trillion tax increase coming to the American people as a result of Trump's tax cuts expiring at the end of this year. For an average family in Montana, it's $2,000 a year. So this is a really, really significant moment. This is the way we can need to protect our small business in Montana without raising their taxes. And remember, this will be done with Republicans only. There's not a single Democrat, zero, that are helping us on this. This will be passed with Republican votes only. And again, hats off to Montanans for electing Tim Sheehy in November, because Tim Sheehy is voting for this package. I'm voting for this package, of course, stopping a $4.5 trillion tax increase. Had there been a Democrat back here in Washington from Montana, they would not be voting for it, and they would allow a $4.5 trillion tax increase to occur. So here's one more benefit of electing a guy like Tim Sheehy, who's been a great battle buddy, joining me back here in Washington, supporting President Trump, moving forward on his agenda.
Yeah, I saw he was on Fox News yesterday talking about the Department of Defense and Pentagon News. I'll play that coming after the Farm and Ranch Report. Senator Steve Daines, great to have you on the show. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thanks for having me, Aaron.
All right, we'll get to your Farm and Ranch Report right now, and then, yeah, we'll rack and stack the audio with Senator Tim Sheehy on Fox News talking about our nation's military and DOD next.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
We should all give our profound thanks to Montana legislators who once again poured themselves into crafting laws that address opportunities and challenges we face across the state. These results of those efforts aren't always pretty, however, and that's especially so for the property tax. For each successive legislature, it seems, gives us that the property tax system is more complicated than before, and the 69th legislature followed that long tradition. Faced with political firestorms caused by galloping residential housing valuations, lawmakers have responded with a mixture of rebates, exemptions, and tax rates that vary by property use and value, all designed to shield homeowners, from bearing the brunt of future trends in market value. Viewing all this hard work from the cheap seats, one thought comes to my mind. That is the plain and simple fact that property taxes are decided locally, and most of the levers to control their growth can and should be pulled by local taxing authorities, not the legislature. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. There's an effort in Congress to improve mental health care to pilots and air traffic controllers. Aviators and controllers are often docked for long periods of time if they report mental health struggles. But lawmakers want to change that. The bipartisan plan is from Minnesota Republican Pete Stauber and Illinois Democrat Sean Casten. It would reduce barriers to mental health assistance. Aviation professionals fear putting their careers in jeopardy if they speak up about how they're feeling or need help. Medical professionals say the skies could be safer if aviators and controllers had better access to care. Mental health concerns are now at the forefront of the aviation industry following a spate of high-profile incidents ranging from a crash in Toronto to this winter's disaster when a plane and Army helicopter collided and plunged into the Potomac River. The Department of Transportation declined to comment for this story, but the FAA encourages pilots to seek care. Sponsors of the legislation say psychological well-being could make the already statistically safe industry even safer. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Egg Report. I'm Russell Nimitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Egg Network. Well, as our network's Lane Nordland continues his coverage from the 2025 World Angus Forum, which is underway in Australia, what an incredible turnout. 26 nations are represented and 2,500 attendees. Let's check in this morning with another RotoMix update with Lane, who's on the ground in Brisbane.
Well, as we've made our way from Sydney north to Brisbane, a part of the Angus Track Tour, the meat of our journey is the World Angus Forum. Our coverage has been brought to you by RotoMix over the past few days. Of course, they are designed for feed efficiency for producers in the countryside. And at this year's World Angus Forum here in Brisbane, several keynote speakers are taking the stage, including CEO of the American Angus Association, Mark McCauley.
The American Angus Association, our breeders, obviously viewed as leaders in the world. And so there's always an interest in what's going on in the States. What are we thinking about in terms of our genetic advancement? And so I'll spend some time talking a little bit about just the growth of the Angus breed, the demand for registered Angus cattle across the United States, talk about the diversity in our breed, the diversity in our market today. We'll also, one of the areas is we'll spend some time talking about the World Angus Evaluation. That was something we rolled out about a year and a half ago through our subsidiary company, Angus Genetics Incorporated, where we do a combined genetic evaluation for the U.S., Canada, and Australia. It's a great way for us to compare animals on a common currency, as we talk about, for EPDs. That's really enabled trade and import and export of genetics that we can compare across some borders. So we'll spend some time talking about where we're at with the World Angus Evaluation. And then John Stick is also going to be talking about certified Angus beef. And I know the certified Angus beef brand is looked at across the globe as a leader in branded beef. And I know there's always interest from breeders and Angus enthusiasts to hear what's going on there.
Over 2,500 people are registered from 26 countries exploring the theme, Beef for a Better Planet. I'll send it back to you.
All right, thanks a lot, Lane. Now, for more of his conversations, check out our Western Egg Network YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram channels.
Meet your new ally in the battle against weeds. Cohort is a next-level adjuvant designed to strengthen herbicides requiring an AMS. As the ultimate companion for post-emergence applications, Cohort helps herbicides produce faster, more complete weed control while ensuring consistent and effective performance. Trade in your dry AMS bag this season for multiple technologies in one convenient liquid. Contact your local Helena representative or authorized dealer for more information about Cohort. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
Calling all ranchers, settle up for the 406 Grazing Academy, June 3rd through the 5th in Havre. It's not your average workshop. It's 3 full days of boots-on-the-ground learning designed to simplify grazing management. From pasture walks and grazing demos to campfire chats and classroom know-how, you'll walk away with the tools to boost your land and livestock. Thanks to WSAR, it's just $150, meals and materials included. Spots are limited, so register by May 15th at mtdnrc.formstack.com. Use code DNRC at Havre Inn & Suites. Well, this week, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent expressed optimism that substantial progress in U.S.-China trade negotiations could be achieved in the coming weeks. However, the overall status of talks remains uncertain. For the Western Egg Network, I'm Russell Nimitz.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. By the way, here's another headline for you. This one just came out here this week as well from the Belgrade News. Mexican man faces aggravated burglary charge put on ICE immigration hold. That's another story out of Bozeman, Montana. And by the way, I checked the Gallatin County jail roster. I didn't see this guy listed on the jail roster. So was he put back out on the streets, or did the feds already deport the guy? That's a question I have. I might have to shoot a note to ICE. I did shoot a note over to a contact at the Bozeman Police Department. But, yeah, but I might have to contact a few more folks to see if we can get an answer on that one. But, yeah, just another headline of illegal aliens committing more crimes in Gallatin County, and yet the Gallatin County attorney obstructing ICE. Okay, let's see. One thing that we got coming up later before I get to this Senator Sheehy interview, he was on with Laura Ingraham last night. Yesterday, I told you about this headline, this news out of Butte. EPA cancels $20 million grant awarded to Butte for a community resiliency hub. That was a Montana Television Network headline. NBC Montana also had this. EPA cancels $20 million grant for Butte Resiliency Hub. Anyway, I told you yesterday, I shot a note over to the chief executive for Butte Silver Bow, J.P. Gallagher, and I heard back that Butte Silver Bow chief executive will be joining us here coming up in the 7 o'clock hour of the show, so looking forward to that. We'll not only talk about that store, but we'll talk about a whole bunch of other Butte stuff as well, so that'll be great coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. All right, let's go to Stephen Ballantyne before we get to the Fox News update. Steve, what's going on?
Good morning, Aaron. Oh, listen to Kevin yesterday about the college tuition debt stuff, you know, saying that it was more affordable when he went to college. And he thinks that all these kids should have a more affordable, basically transfer the debt from them to you and I, the U.S. government, you know. And, you know, nowhere does he talk about, you know, Harvard going woke. You know, when he went to college, there was no woke stuff going on, I'm sure. Nothing like it is now. And Harvard, you know, Trump is withholding $2 billion because that's all they're doing is these colleges are promoting woke. These kids need to start paying their own way to go to college. It's just like, you know, you give them a car, they'll trash it. You make them buy their car, they might treat it a little bit nicer. You know, these kids, I know someone that went to, when I got out of high school, I got a full ride in Rapid City College. And what does he do? He goes out there and parties and loses it. You know, these kids, they need to work for their tuition so they can put themselves to college. I'm all for it. Quit sitting there putting it on our back. And Kevin just, you know, his statement basically wants it more affordable for him.
Well, that was Ken in Great Falls. Yeah, that was Ken in Great Falls, our very leftist friend. Yeah. That was his first phone call since the November election. So Stephen Ballantyne was actually referring, so yesterday in our 9 o'clock hour of the show, I'll get to the Senator Sheehy interview here after the next break because this is fun. We got to talk about this. We got our first phone call from Ken in Great Falls, our very liberal friend, our far-left friend, Ken in Great Falls. He called in for the first time since the November elections. I was seriously starting to get worried about the guy. I mean, and I know many of you were, too. So for those of you that only join us for the early morning hours of this show, I used to just host a one-hour statewide show from 9 to 10 a.m., and then when we launched Montana Talks, we launched these early morning hours of the program, which has quickly turned into basically a statewide show as well. But anyway, Ken in Great Falls, ever since I first started in statewide talk radio, I've enjoyed having conversations with Ken from Great Falls. Far left Democrat here in Montana, big on the environmental group stuff. But anyway, after the November elections, you know, when Trump won big and when Tim Sheehy won big, we have not gotten a phone call from Ken in Great Falls since November, maybe October of 2024. That was like 6 months ago now. And so I was getting emails and we get messages. I shared a few of them, not all of them, but people were saying, hey, is Ken in Great Falls okay? Because, man, we haven't heard anything from him. And so, we're not on the radio in Great Falls until 8 a.m. That's when our affiliate in Great Falls starts carrying the show. So typically you would hear him call in, mostly in the 9 o'clock hour, sometimes in the 8 o'clock hour as well. But he called in for the first time yesterday, and it's on the Montana Talks podcast if you missed it. But, yeah, I mentioned like one story and one tweet about student loan debt. And boom, that's what everybody wanted to talk about in the 9 o'clock hour of the show yesterday. That's why you never know what we're going to talk about here on the program, because one phone call, one tweet, one whatever could change the whole nature of the conversation. But yeah, Ken's argument, and I talked a little bit more with Stephen Ballantyne about this. His argument was, well, we just need the government to give a whole bunch more money to these colleges and these universities, and then college will be more affordable and kids will have student loan debt. And it's like, the reason why, look, these colleges and these universities have a boatload of money, boatload of cash. I mean, look at Harvard's endowment alone. The reason they keep jacking up tuition and fees and empire building on these college campuses is because of student loans. They were guaranteed to get cash. They were guaranteed to get students no matter what they charged you. And so the more you give them, the more they throw on the backs of the students, the more they throw on the backs of the taxpayers. And that was Steve's complaint, is like, okay, so now they just want to throw more on the backs of taxpayers? Yeah, anyway, great phone call there from Steve. Thanks for the reminder. Yeah, we got our first ever phone call from Ken in Great Falls. He says he made it to the Bernie AOC rally in Missoula, and that got him out of his funk.
From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, apparently the Houthis have tapped out. They're tired of attacking America because Donald Trump started attacking them finally. So once we got Joe Biden and his regime out of there. So they're tapping out. That's one of the big news in the national stories, national defense, etc. I think Senator Tim Sheehy spoke about that as well with Laura Ingraham. We'll share portions of that interview here in just a couple of minutes. But Stephen Ballantyne, yeah, he reminded us we got our first phone call since the November elections from Ken in Great Falls. Tim in Billings, did you get a chance to hear it live?
I did not, but... I just have to poke a little fun at Ken, because I'm sure since November, his life has been like that cartoon meme of the cartoon superhero wiping the sweat from his brow, trying to decide which button to push. And one side would say, buy the Tesla that I've been trying to shame everyone else into owning, or criticize Elon Musk. You know, he can't decide what he's supposed to do, because the narrative on has switched for liberals.
I didn't even think that would be a good follow-up question to ask Ken, is, hey, what do you think of your fellow leftists, you know, firebombing electric vehicles? Because, man, you're the one who was lecturing all of us to buy all these electric vehicles over all these years, and he finally got one, you know, a few months ago. And then now, all of a sudden, I think the Democrats are abandoning electric vehicles altogether.
Well, does he have to vandalize his own vehicle to stay part of the club, or if he owns it, can he leave it alone?
Well, he
didn't.
That's
what I want to know.
He didn't buy a Tesla. He bought some other EV. I can't even remember what kind it was that he said he finally bought. But No, it was kind of interesting, because I asked him. I said, "Hey, what got you out of your funk?" And because he admitted right when he called in, I said, "Holy cow, this is our first call from you since November." And he said, "Yeah." He said, "Yeah, I've been." He said, "You know, I took the elections pretty hard, you know, with Donald Trump winning, and then of course, you know, I don't think he mentioned it, but you know, in Montana, I mean, the defeat of John Tester was just such a massive win for us here in Montana, and so that on top of Donald J. Trump back in the White House, you know, for far left folks, it's like holy cow." But then, yeah, he was at the Bernie Sanders AOC rally. I asked him, I said, "Hey, so what do you think? Is it going to be AOC in 2028? And he didn't rule it out. He didn't rule it out. So,
Well, they're crazy enough. And, you know, the other thing that may have been helping you get out of his funk is, you know, watching the Nasty Nine completely undermine and torpedo the conservative agenda in Montana, you know. So I'm sure that was a little sugar in his coffee every day to watch those nine just completely subvert the conservative movement, you know. But
that's a good point. That could have put more wind back in the sails for the far left and the Democrats. Yeah, and case in point, Tim, I don't know if you heard me mention this, but when AOC spoke in Missoula at that rally,
She said, hey, Montana Democrats, you know, don't count us out. We're going for the school boards. We're going for the, you know, remember that whole litany of things where she laid out, where she pointed out, look, the Democrats don't just focus on congressional races and Senate races and governor races. Like, they go after everything. And they want to take over your school boards. Well, look what just happened in Billings. Again, case in point here. You know, these left-wing activists just basically won the school board elections in Billings, Montana. And so here you go again. Republicans want to spend more time fighting each other than winning important things like school board races.
Well, all politics are local, and the politics that will affect your life more than not on a day-to-day basis are your local politics. And if Republicans don't figure that out, you know, this little streak we're on is going to be short-lived, and we'll be back into the misery of a Democratic rule from top to bottom in no time. So throw your heads out, people, and start voting in those local elections and look at who these people are. And if they're running, maybe contact them and ask them where they stand on issues instead of just saying, well, this is a nice flyer, or that person talked really nice on this one interview that I heard, or I've heard their name before and I can't remember where, but that must mean it's okay, and they vote for them anyways, or they just don't vote at all.
Well, and it's also another reminder of a failure of three Republican legislative sessions now. These school board elections should not be taking place during off-year election cycles, because then what happens is that everyday people, are not engaged. Sometimes the elections sneak under the radar. And then what ends up happening? The far left, you know, teachers' unions end up getting all their voters out, pumping all their messages out for their campaigns. And then the Republicans largely stay silent and don't do much. And then they sweep the school board elections. And so let this be a warning for the Supreme Court elections that are coming up next year as well here, and the need to take those seriously. Let's see. Tim, thanks for the phone call. Great to hear from you. Speaking of Tim, Montana's U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy was on with Laura Ingraham last night responding to this great news out of the Department of Defense. We talked about this yesterday on the show. I played the audio of Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth. You know, they're cutting the bureaucracy inside the ranks of the military as well. Why do we have so many four-star generals today? So many more four-star generals today compared to World War II. You know, and the ratios are just insane. And so anyway, here's what Senator Sheehy had to say.
In war, there's no second place, and we have to be ready to win wars. And after every military disaster in American history, after the opening phase of the Civil War, when the Union was getting its butt kicked, to Pearl Harbor, President Lincoln and President Roosevelt both did a cleanse of our general officer ranks to, as Secretary Hex has just said, refocus on combat readiness. This is not an attack on these generals who served decades in uniform. We thank and honor them for their service, of course, but we have to reorient our military towards combat lethality, battlefield readiness. The Navy has 300 admirals and 250 ships.
Well, explain why is that?
Well, normally a ship is commanded by a commander or a captain, and an admiral will command a flotilla or a squadron of 4, 5, 10 ships at a time.
Ooh.
Now we have 10 times more admirals than we need as far as a ship count, and China builds ships 230 times faster than we do. So we have a structural challenge in our military-industrial complex, and that starts with the leadership. And in any organization, if you want to change it, you have to start at the top.
The CNN military analyst is the typical of those who are slamming Hegseth about what he's trying to do here. Watch this.
I don't see the correlation between reducing the size of the general officer ranks, flag officer ranks, and increasing the size of the enlisted population. There's not a lot of real substance to what he's trying to achieve. I think he's flexing his muscles.
Is the spider right?
Well, so says the two-star general retired, still collecting a general's pension. Why don't we ask the sergeants and the privates and the captains and the majors, the people who are on the battlefield, paying the price for poor decisions back home? And I can promise you, when Afghanistan collapsed and folks like me and many of my friends, including my wife, who served on the ground in Afghanistan, we were pretty damn pissed off about the decisions made at upper echelons that led to a complete and utter disaster in Afghanistan that set off a domino effect around the world.
that we're now still seeing in Israel and Ukraine. So the simple fact is accountability starts at the top. There's never going to be performance in our leadership ranks without accountability. And what Secretary Hegseth and the President have directed is our military needs to refocus on battlefield effectiveness. We need to streamline our weapons systems and acquisition processes to focus on lethality, and that starts with the generals.
That, to me, it's just common sense. Trump says this isn't political, it's common sense. Great to see you, Senator. Thank you so much.
Yeah, what a great response there from Senator Tim Sheehy. So great to have fellow veterans in positions like this instead of, you know, some of the typical politicians that maybe hadn't served, haven't been in the fight, like a Navy SEAL veteran like Tim Sheehy, who can actually give us a window into what's really going on and what the ranks really think needs to happen in order to fix things. Hey, speaking of windows, do you need to fix your windows? Maybe a little too much of that cold air was sneaking through during the winter, raising your energy bills, and the hot air is going to do the same thing here later in the summer. Well, YHIC, your home improvement company, is in the middle of their big Memorial Day sale starting now until May 31st. And when it comes to windows, they've got an unbeatable deal. 50% off your window purchase plus free labor with a minimum of four windows. It's a deal you don't want to miss. Plus, easy financing, zero down, zero interest, and zero payments for 12 months. Call 406-948-2836 today to schedule your free in-home consultation. The Memorial Day sale running now until May 31st. Let me repeat, 50% off your window purchase plus free labor, minimum of four windows. Call 406-948-2836. You're going to love the difference with your home improvement company. Go to YHIC.com. to find out how. All right, what do we talk about next? I've got about two dozen different sound bites I could play for you, which means about two dozen different stories that we could talk about. So what do you think we need to talk about? I mentioned we got some great guests joining us in the 7 o'clock hour. John Jackson, the Joker from X, is going to join us for an Unwoke Wednesday starting in the 8 o'clock hour. So what do you want to talk about? You can call right now, 294-0970, or message us on the Montana Talks app. In fact, I'll go check those messages right now.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
You know, Gavin Newsom is trying. We need to do a forensics on why we lost. Probably not a bad idea, but don't think for a second that he's not thinking about himself right now. The real leadership of the Democratic Party is the left wing. Gavin Newsom has embodied that. His biggest problem, if he wants to make that run, will be his own record. Jasmine Crockett doesn't know if she's the future of the Democratic Party. Crockett said, I don't know that I'm the future of the Democratic Party, but I do know that in this moment, we need people that are unafraid and willing to go after the administration for the good of the entirety of the country. I want to make sure we're shining a light on all the darkness that they are bringing to the country right now. Or I'd say that the darkness happened in their era.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
Attention retirement savers. J.P. Morgan predicts a 2025 recession as tariffs rattle markets. According to Forbes, 2025 recession risks just increased significantly. And Ray Dalio warns of a more serious global breakdown. That's why thousands of hardworking Americans are turning to the award-winning precious metals company, Goldco. Right now, Goldco is offering you a free 2025 gold and silver kit. Plus, you could get unlimited bonus silver if you qualify. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD to find out how you can help diversify your savings tax and penalty-free today. Help protect what you've worked so hard for before it's too late. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD. That's HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunshine across the area today and some patchy fog in some areas early. Otherwise, looking at highs ranging from 70 in Bozeman to the mid-70s in the Billings area. For tonight, expecting clear skies, lows from the mid-40s to around 50. And then the outlook for Thursday does call for more sunshine, low 70s to around 80. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Frombley.
From the van loads of illegals busted crossing the border near Shelby to the stabbing suspects in downtown Bozeman and an illegal alien being deported out of Billings, there is a pileup of illegal aliens in the Montana news. Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. We've got the full story, well, several stories, montanatalks.com. But I forgot one. There's one more I should have added in there. There was a big cocaine and meth bust in Bozeman. And, yep, illegal aliens, too.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, speaking of the Supreme Court, I saw a post on X from Micah Drew. I think he's a reporter with one of the liberal news sites. He said this, breaking news, Flathead County District Court Judge Amy Eddy is apparently going to be running for the Montana Supreme Court next year as well. She will be facing another Flathead judge, Judge Dan Wilson. So that one caught my eye. Now, the reason I'm familiar with that name, Amy Eddy, is, you know, I don't know too much about her rulings and her background, but I remember, you know, Ron in Big Fork, one of our great callers out of Big Fork, Montana. He's a law enforcement veteran. He's also a lawyer, but he has long been complaining about Judge Amy Eddy as basically being soft on crime and too far left of a district court judge in the Flathead Valley. So apparently that's who the Democrats are going to be running for the Montana Supreme Court next year to face Judge Dan Wilson. And, of course, Judge Dan Wilson was one of the sons of Montana who ran for the Supreme Court last year, and he's making another run for the Montana Supreme Court coming up next year as well. But yeah, there you go. I just saw that one on X earlier this morning. I mentioned I was going to check the messages on the Montana Talks app here. Sean and Shelby had a great one from earlier in the hour. We were talking about all of these news stories, about all of these illegal aliens and additional crimes they're committing all across the state of Montana. And anyway, Sean and Shelby says this, these illegals weren't ignored by the previous administration. They were imported by them. They are Biden's army. That's from Sean in Shelby. Let's see, Cameron in Billings. Yeah, this is a good message here, too. The real issue with college prices is the colleges themselves. Nothing will change until they decide to stop being greedy and stuffing themselves like pigs. That's the message from Cameron in Billings from yesterday's conversation about student loan debt. And look, I think the fact that all of these college campuses saw dedicated money in the form of student loans, they just kept empire building. And there's a lot of overpaid left-wing professors that have been, you know, feasting off of this on the backs of students, on the backs of taxpayers as well. And then there's a lot of kids who, you know, went to college when maybe they should have gone to a trade school or jumped immediately into the trades in the form of a job, right? And so it's going to be interesting to see what our college graduates or our high school graduates choose to do here in Montana in the course of the next few months here as we enter graduation season, if you ask me. But that reminds me, there's a story about Harvard. Apparently Harvard, you know, because of their anti-Semitism on their campus, they're losing a whole bunch of federal funding. So Harvard is apparently now having to lay off a whole bunch of left-wing professors and other staff on the Harvard campus. I think the DailyWire.com has that story. Let's see. Oh, yeah, Stephen in Big Sandy. I think you're right, Stephen in Big Sandy. We had Tim in Billings was talking about Ken in Great Falls and his electric vehicle that he finally purchased several years into the whole thing. He says, I believe Ken had bought an electric Blazer, if I remember correctly. Yeah, it was something like that. It wasn't a Tesla. It was it a Blazer? I thought it was a foreign car, if I remember right. Maybe it was a Blazer. I can't remember. But yeah, let's see. Andy and Whitefish, I asked you guys before the break. I said, hey, what do you think we should talk about next? He says, how about Dave Portnoy? Andy, you got to fill me in. What's the story about Dave Portnoy? He's that Barstool Sports guy, right? I've seen some tweets from him in the past, but I don't know too much about Barstool Sports. What's the Dave Portnoy story? Send us another message on the Montana Talks app. Fill us in there. Okay, coming up in the 7 o'clock hour of the show, we've got J.P. Gallagher, chief executive for Butte Silver Bow, following up on the news we covered yesterday. So that'll be first up.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
We should all give our profound thanks to Montana legislators who once again poured themselves into crafting laws that address opportunities and challenges we face across the state. These results of those efforts aren't always pretty, however, and that's especially so for the property tax. For each successive legislature, it seems, gives us that the property tax system is more complicated than before. And the 69th legislature followed that long tradition. Faced with political firestorms caused by galloping residential housing valuations, lawmakers have responded with a mixture of rebates, exemptions, and tax rates that vary by property use and value, all designed to shield homeowners, from bearing the brunt of future trends in market value. Viewing all this hard work from the cheap seats, one thought comes to my mind. That is the plain and simple fact that property taxes are decided locally, and most of the levers to control their growth can and should be pulled by local taxing authorities, not the legislature. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.